Well, we find ourselves this week in the time period between Purim and Pesach. And so I thought it would be a good idea to look in both directions for a little bit. And, oh, thank you. You know what? Can I ask you to hold these in back in case somebody is not? Okay, thank you very much. So I'd like to share an idea that is connected mostly with Pesach, but also just looking backwards for a moment on Purim. And I'd like to draw your attention to the first source, which comes from a Gemara in Masechet Megillah Daf Yudal Amud Aleph. The Gemara there wants to know by the first arrow, the Gemara there wants to know why we do not say Hallel on Purim. And we heard that in a Siyum recently. This Gemara was quoted in a Siyum last week. Two weeks ago. Week and a half ago. That's right. The Gemara by the first arrow says, Hallel Nami Nema. We should also say Hallel on Purim. So the Gemara gives three answers. The first answer, which I'm not going to read, but you can see it by the arrow there, is that we don't say Hallel for a nes that occurs in Chutz La'aretz, which is an unbelievable concept. The Gemara takes it and accepts it, and it's important to explore why that is the case. And people could ask, what about Pesach? The Gemara asks that question. That's a nes that happens in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara here, I'm just not reading it inside, says that once we went into Israel, then we only say Hallel on a nes that happens in Israel. But of course, before that, before Knisah La'aretz Yisrael, we could say Hallel on a nes that occurs in Chutz La'aretz. The third answer, that was the first answer of the Gemara. The third answer of the Gemara is that we only say Hallel when we are we're completely in quotes Avdei Hashem, but at that point we couldn't be full Avdei Hashem in quotes, whatever that means. We're not getting into that this time. But basically the Gemara in the first long line says Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We were still in those days, and in to some respect, in some level, so to speak, still today, but in those days for sure, even after we got freed and saved from the plan of Haman, well, we got our lives, we're saved, that's not all. But we were still in under the rule of Achashverosh, and therefore Hallel would not be appropriate to be said. However, the second answer is what I want to focus on, and it's the second arrow. The second arrow says, Rav Nachman Amar Kriata Zo Halela. The Gemara says, Kriata, reading of the Megillah, is our Hallel. And tonight's shiur is about Hallel. And we could have learned this Gemara 12 months a year. It happens to be right after Pesach, after Purim. But we could have learned this all year round. What kind of Hallel? I understand what Hallel is. Thanking God, praising God, singing God's praises. And where, why, how is the Megillah the same as a Hallel? We think about Hallel when we think about praise, celebration, thanksgiving. And how is Megillah a Hallel? We're going to put that question on hold, and we're going to turn now to our Tanakhs and open up. When I asked you to open up to Tehillim Kuf Yud Gimel, you immediately saw that you were looking at Hallel. This is Hallel. Hallel is made up of six prakim, Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, Kuf Tet Vav, Kuf Tet Zayin, Kuf Yud Zayin, and Kuf Yud Chet. And this is a Hallel. So if you can look at the Hallel in front of you, I'd like to, before you look at it, or you can look at it now too, I'd like to ask a broad question that hopefully we'll be able to answer tonight. And the broad question is, as you may remember, those of you who've begun looking over the Haggadah, you may remember that we split Hallel on Pesach night. And the question is why? Let me remind you in case you forgot. We say on Pesach night, two Mizmorim, Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalid. During Magid, we say Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalid during Magid. And then we continue with our Seder, etc., etc. And the second to last component of the Seder is Hallel. But it's not really a full Hallel, but it's not also what we call a half Hallel, what we say on Rosh Chodesh. But it's not really called half Hallel. It's called half Hallel, but it doesn't really mean that. It's a different kind of Hallel. It's the rest of Hallel. It's Kuf Tet Vav, Kuf Tet Zayin, Kuf Yud Chetz. And so we've got Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalet as part of Magid. And we have the rest of Hallel as part of Hallel. And so our question is going to be, why? Why is Hallel split up? It's a nice idea to share with your family just when the Seder is winding down. You know why you use a Haggadah on Pesach, right? So you can say the right words. Okay. That's a grandfather joke, and that's a laugh at a grandfather. Okay, I got it. Scratch that off the text list. Okay. To say the right words. Okay. Sometimes you're not sure if you're not laughing because it's not funny, and I think that's what I have to assume from now on. Okay. So it's a nice idea, but we'll see that it's a nicer idea for us. In other words, it's a beautiful idea to share, but it also means something to you and me. So why is Hallel split on Pesach night? In order to understand that, we need to take a look at the differences, and there are many, between Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, and the rest of Hallel. Take a look for a second. The difference is there are three, Rabbi Soloveitchik describes three main differences between Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, and the rest of Hallel. You'll take a look, scan, for example, Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, and you will find that it is these two Mizmorim, sometimes called Prakim, are pure thanksgiving, praise, what we would expect in Hallel. Hallelukah, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Hallelu Et Shem Hashem, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mavoo, Mehulal Shem Hashem, Hamashpili Lirop Hashemayim Uva'aretz, Lohoshivi Im Nedivim Im Nedivei Amo. This is, number one, pure praise. We'll see what the opposite is in a minute. It also discusses the past, but minimally. It really, when it discusses the past, it really more talks about our destiny. I'm sorry. When it describes our past, it's used. It's as a springboard connected with our destiny. Hamashpili lirot b'shamayim uva'aretz. Describes a downtrodden nation that is then raised to a high level of freedom. I said that Hamashpili lirot b'shamayim uva'aretz. So that's what Hallel seems to be. And you would expect, if you were to write a Hallel, you would write Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalet. But now take a look at the rest of Hallel. The rest of Hallel certainly has praise and thanksgiving. But it also has mixed with concerns, petition, we can call it begging. It's thanksgiving and petition. It's freedom and incomplete freedom. So take a look at many examples. We're going to go from Kuf Tet Vav, Pasuk Bet. So we start by talking, giving recognition to God for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And then we say, Lama Yemru Hagoyim, Ayeina Elohim. We're happy to be out, but why do they say that our God doesn't exist? Or, take a look at Kuf Tet Zion, even clearly. We start by, Ahavti ki ishma Hashem et koli tachanunai ki hita ozno li uvyamai akra. The next pasuk? Afathuni chavle mavet. Umtzarei she'ol metzauni. Tzarav v'yagon emtza. I'm happy, thank you. I'm surrounded by people who are trying to kill me. I'm surrounded by problems. Take a look at Kuf Yurchet. Hodu Lashem Kito Kilom Chasdo. Yomar Na Yisrael Kilom Chasdo. Yomur Na Veit Aaron Kilom Chasdo. Yomur Na Yirei Hashem Kilom Chasdo. Next pasuk, it's the still same mizmor. Next pasuk, Min Hameitzar Karatika Anani Bamerchavka. Thank you. I'm in the Meitzar. I'm in trouble. I'm in a narrow place. Hashem li be'ozrai, kuf yudchet zayin. Look in zayin. Tov lachasot b'Hashem mibtoach ba'adam. Tov lachasot b'Hashem mibtoach b'indivim. Pasuk yud. Kol goyim sebavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam. Thank you, but I need you. Petition. Perhaps the most powerful example, but you see it many times, is Ze hayom asa Hashem nagila venis v'chavo Ana Hashem Oshiana. Ana Hashem Oshiana. Ana Hashem Oshiana. After ze hayom asa Hashem. There is no pasuk Ana Hashem Oshiana or anything like Ana Hashem Oshiana in Kuf Yud Gimel Kuf Yud Aleph. It's only in the later half of Hallel. So again, what we've got is in the I'll call it the first part and second part. Yeah, even though it's two prakim and four prakim. The first part of Hallel, unadulterated praise. Thank you. Done. The second half of Hallel, second part of Hallel, is thank you, but I need you. What a celebration! But I'm begging for help. I'm so happy. I'm petitioning. And that's the second part of Hallel. We also said, if you'll take a look, you'll see some of your own examples, but you'll notice that in the first two Mizmorim, Hashem is described only in the third person. And yet, when it comes to the second part of Hallel, when I need you, God, I need you, I talk in second person. You'll take a look. The last four Mizmorim discuss Hashem in the third person, but also shifts to the second person. So really what we started with was a question of why is Hallel split on Pesach night? What we really need to go back then is a more fundamental question. Why is it together the rest of the year? This is not a Hallel that I expected. If I want to wish, isn't somebody's birthday soon? Whose birthday was it? Tomorrow. Today or tomorrow? Tomorrow. Woo! Happy birthday. It's funny because I was thinking of a friend of mine in Shul, and I went to a kiddush because of that. But anyway, so it's Tzipora's birthday tomorrow. And I come to her and I say, Tzipora, happy birthday! Here's $10. So she would say, why are you giving me dollars? I want shkalim. I live in Israel. I'd say, I apologize. My mistake. Okay, that's a joke. But anyway, I come to her and I say, here's 10 shkalim. And she'd say, well, you gave me more than that in the dollars. No, I'm just kidding. I say, here's $10. What I expect her to say is, thank you. I don't expect her to say, thank you, but I really want more. Like, what do you mean? Take what you get and move on. What are you talking about? Take what you get and don't get upset. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. And that's what we're doing, is breaking that rule. Thank you, Hashem, but I need you. Thank you, Hashem, petitioning. And the question is why. There's an old Jewish joke. It's not even that funny, but it's this idea that the joke is that a grandmother and a grandson are walking along the beach, and all of a sudden a huge wave comes and swipes, chas v'shalom, the boy out into the ocean. And the grandmother begs, God, please bring my grandson back. Bring my grandson back. And the next wave comes, and the boy is brought back on the shore. And she hugs him and kisses him. And then she turns to the sky and she says, God, He also had a hat. Okay, all right, that's an old joke. But that's what we're saying in Hallel. Hashem, I didn't deserve it. I was in the 49th level of Tumah. Let's say an example of Pesach, which is what the context of Hallel here is. I was on the 40th level of Tumah. I didn't deserve it. And you took me out. I need you, God. How about a thank you? And let's move on. And by the way, that's what we normally do. The first two Mizmorim morning, we do say that. So the question first, the second question now is going to be, why is it split? The first question is, why is it ever together? So Rabbi Soloveitchik has such a gorgeous answer that I want to share with you. And his answer is, if we're asking the question of why is it normally together, the answer is because a Jew can never really offer unadulterated praise. Man is so vulnerable and so dependent upon God's kindness that I can never really say thank you and good night. It's always I need you. It's always thank you, but I still need you. Thank you, but I still require your assistance in salvation. Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, wrote a sefer he spoke, and then it was turned into a sfarim called Pachad Yitzchak. We have them here. As a matter of fact, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein calls three people Mori V'Rabbi. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein calls three people Mori V'Rabbi, as far as I know, maybe more. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik's younger brother, and Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Mori V'Rabbi. So Rav Yitzchak Huttner on Hanukkah says such a beautiful idea that when we wake up every morning, we say Modeh Ani Lefanecha. Say thank you, we say Todah. Modeh. Modeh actually could mean two things. There are really two definitions for the word modeh. One is it means I say thank you. What also does modeh mean? What's that? I didn't hear. Say again. Yafeh, I admit. I admit. I admit. Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner says that those are the same thing. When I say thank you, I am at the same moment admitting that I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you means I could not do it without you. That's this pshat. I say thank you, but by definition, modeh means I am admitting, I confess, I recognize that I couldn't have woken up without you, I couldn't have breathed without you, I couldn't have gotten out of bed without you, I couldn't have done anything today without you. My wealth and my health and my family, and my entire world, thank you means thank you, I couldn't have done it without you. There's a lot of more to talk about in that regard, but that's Rabbi Soloveitchik B'derech Klal. As a matter of fact, and I know that many of you are familiar with this, but in case you're not, and even if you are, review is beautiful. The next source is a pretty well-known machloket between the Rambam and Ramban. I don't think I'm going to read it inside. I don't think I'm going to read it inside, but I maybe the first part I will, but it's a machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether davening is a mitzvah min haTorah or not. You're familiar with this, perhaps. The Rambam maintains that perhaps what we say is not min haTorah. Perhaps when we daven is not min haTorah. Perhaps three times a day is not min haTorah. It's all midrabanan, but for you and me, it's the same thing. But at the very least, once a day, we have a chiyuv to daven. Beautiful, important, mitzvah min haTorah. As you may know, and that's on the right side of the page, it's mitzvah hey, the Rambam's mitzvah hey. He hatzivu, if you can read it, he hatzivu ish nitzavenu leovdo yitaleh. We've been obligated, this is a mitzvah min haTorah. We've been obligated to serve God, the Almighty. Says, if you just go over to the left side, in the Ramban wrote a perush describing or delineating and explaining where he disagrees with the Ramban. with the Rambam. And in Mitzvah Hey, the Hasagata Ramban, which is on Daf Kuf Nun Hey in Rav Kook, the Ein Nechona Bazeh. Shekvar biyaru chachamim bigemara tefilah midrabanan. And I disagree with you. This is not one of the 613 mitzvot. It is not. It is not. What is the only time there is a mitzvah to daven min haTorah, the last line, when we have a tzara, beitzara. By the way, I should tell you parenthetically that the Rambam also says davening beitzara is a separate mitzvah tase. Davening be'etzara, who else am I going to go to? I'm going to go to a doctor? I'm going to go to a politician? Chas v'shalom, I daven to Hashem. And you do those things behishtadlut, but I also daven to Hashem. But the Rambam would say, mitzvah taseh min haTorah to daven every single day. The Ramban says no. And you'll read the source here. It's possible that you can go, and in mitzvah Hashem you will. A day, a week, a month, a year, your whole life. In mitzvah Hashem. Never really having a mitzvah min haTorah. To daven, says the Ramban, because you're not be'etzara. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, there's really no machloket. Really, there's no machloket. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, you know what? The Rambam says you have a mitzvah to daven every single day. The Ramban says you have a mitzvah to daven only your be'etzara. Says the Ramban, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the reason why that there's no real difference is because we are always be'etzara. Yafem o'od, we're always be'etzara. We're always be'etzara. You're never really free from God's kindness and the need. And so guess what? When I said the joke, you know, thank you for my grandson, but he had a hat. That's a joke, but that's the reality of human condition. When I gave the example of Tzipora, happy birthday, here's 10 shekel, thank you, but I need more. That's the reality of the human condition. We don't do that to people. But we do it to God. And we do that to God, if you turn your page over, this is a Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Brachot, look at the bottom arrow in the Gemara. On the right is the arrow in Rashi. We're going to read the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows, Hanichnas Likrach. Hanichnas Likrach. And Rashi says, you can read it inside yourself, if you happen to go to a place where it's dangerous, Jews are not really welcome there. So says the Gemara, Mitpalel Shtayim, Achat b'knisato v'achat b'yitziato. Can you read this? Yeah? You daven twice. One when you go in, and one when you go out. Rashi, Achat b'knisato, if you can see it under the arrow, Mitpalel sheikanes l'shalom. I hope I go in safely. I got to go through here, and I hope I go in safely. What's the other one? B'yitziato. Please let me. I mean, I'm sorry. Thank you, Hashem, for letting me get out safely. Keep reading, though. The line right under the Gemara's arrow. Ben Azai Omer Arba'a. Ben Azai says, Arba, you really daven, you say four tefillot. Shtayim b'knisato. Ushtayim b'yitziato. Says Ben Azai, you daven twice when you come in, and twice when you go out. What does it mean twice when you go in and twice when you go out? Keep reading the Gemara. Arba, shtayim b'knisato, ushtayim b'yitziato. Says the Gemara. Says Ben Azai, notain hoda'a al shiavar v'tzoek al ha'atid. Says Ben Azai. Notain hoda'a al shiavar v'tzoek al ha'atid. So I go into the krach and I say, please God, let me come in safely. I get in safely. Right away, what do? Thank you, Hashem, for letting me go out, but I still need you. I'm in a dangerous place. And as I'm walking out, God, please let me go out safely. And when I go out, thank you, Hashem, I still need you. In other words, those are four tefillot. I want to go in safely. I'm sorry. Thank you for letting me go in safely. I still need you. Please let me go out safely. And thank you for letting me go out. In other words, notain hoda'a al sheavar v'tzo'ek al ha'atid. Rabbi Soloveitchik uses that line of Ben Azai. Notain hoda'a al sheavar v'tzo'ek al ha'atid. Whenever we thank Hashem, we're tzo'ek al ha'atid. It's, I thank you, Hashem, but I still need you. Tzo'ek al ha'atid. It's an expression of praise to God. That I'm not going to a politician, I'm not going anywhere else, I'm going to God. Thank you, I am very appreciative, but I need you. This expression, this idea, this concept, this philosophy, this worldview explains Hallel all year round. Explains Hallel all year round. That's why it's combined. That's why it's one Hallel. Because I don't just have Notein Hoda'ah Al She'avar, period. I have Notein Hoda'ah Al She'avar V'tzo'ek Al Ha'atid. So I can have, in the course of my life, Hanukkah, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach Day, I can have Ze Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'nismach Abo, and at the very next breath, Ana Hashem Oshiana. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki L'Olam Chasdo Min HaMeitzar Karatika. I can have that throughout the course of the year, even in the larger scale. Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalid are not alone. They combine with all of Hallel. And that, so we had to take a step backwards. We first asked, why is Hallel split on Pesach night? We got to the point where we couldn't even understand why Hallel is never split. It should always be split. And maybe the last four Mizmorim we couldn't have. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, so for this second question, no, Hallel, the definition of Hallel is not isolated thank you, it's not unadulterated thank you, it's Notein Hoda'ah Al She'avar V'tzo'ek Al Ha'atid. Yafeh, that's all year round, and now we're back to our original question. Why is then Hallel split on Pesach night? On Pesach night, we do split. On Pesach night, we do have Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet alone, and the rest of Hallel under Hallel. So the answer is that we are looking at two parts of Hallel of the Seder. We're looking at Magid, and then we're looking at Hallel. Hallel Nirtza. When it comes to Magid, and we have B'chol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo, or B'chol dor vador chayav adam leharot et atzmo, kiilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. We are in the past. We have, in Magid, we get to the point, one time a year, and some people are unfortunate in Chutz La'aretz, two times a year, Notein Hoda'ah Al She'avar, period. We say thank you. Magid puts us into a point we are literally thank you Hashem. It's related but not identical to the issue of how Bnei Yisrael were allowed to say as Yashir. Masei Yadai Tovim Bayam Ve'atem Amim Shira, the Malachim said to Hashem, how could Bnei Yisrael say that? And the answer is because they are saying Shira, they experienced it. We are experiencing it also. On Pesach night, this combination of Notein Hoda'ah Al She'avar V'tzo'ek Al Ha'atid does not exist. During Magid, at this point in Haggadah, the focus is totally on the past. The focus is totally on gratitude. It is we who left Mitzrayim. It is we who, for the moment, can focus literally only on praise. Unadulterated. And the only place I can find that is Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet. Done! And then I move on. And then what happens? Slowly, slowly, and by the way, we're going to see in a minute, it actually happens at the end of Magid. But for most of Magid, and for this part of Magid, we're looking in the past. But at some point, our focus shifts. Our focus shifts on the future. It's not out of nowhere that Hallel ends, I'm sorry, that the Seder ends with L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habnuya. But that's only the end. Go back and look at Nirtza and what everything about the way the Haggadah is at the end. Chasal Sidur Pesach Everything we say at the end, all the poems and the songs that we sing, are all futuristic. We've set our sights to the future. We are now in a state, and Hallel for sure. Hallel is the proof of this, the epitome of this, the climax of this. Notein hoda'a al shavar. We've got that. V'tzoek al atid. We are now forward-looking. Hashem, I'm so grateful that I had Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim. I'm so grateful. Dayenu. No question about it. But we're not done. We still need you. All I ate was regular food. I didn't eat a Korban Pesach last year. I'm not talking about this coming year. I didn't eat Korban Pesach last year. I wasn't in Yerushalayim HaBnuya last year. I had no Beit HaMikdash last year. I had no Tara, no Paraduma. I need that. And look again, look, go back in your Haggadah and you'll see how we are forward looking. We are a Jew always, except for one night a year, a Jew always is backward and forward looking. We're not satisfied with the past. We're not resting on our laurels. We push forward. And so the rest of Hallel is the combination that you and I are used to. You can see this clearly at the end of Magid, where that shift begins. And take a look at the middle sources on the second side. At the end of Magid, right before the first part of Hallel. So here we're at the climax of backward looking. I'm told, by the way, that what I'm about to say appears in Rav Mirsky's Haggadah. So either you saw it or didn't see it, but it's Chazara or whatever, but it's a gorgeous idea. I didn't see it there first, but I understand that he quotes this. I think I said this once and someone said, oh, it's in the Haggadah, so you can look there also. So at the end of Magid, right before that part of Hallel, what do we have here? Lefika Hanachnu. Therefore, after everything we've said and learned and experienced, Anachnu chayavim lahodot, lahalel, lashabech, lefa'er, leromeim, lahader. Whew! You have to catch your breath here. Praise. Lahader, levarech, lahalel, kaleis. To who? Lemi she'asah la'avotenu v'lanu et kol hanisim ha'ilu. Hotzianu et l'cherut. Mi'agon l'simcha. Me'eve l'yom tov. Me'afela l'or gadol. U'mishibu l'gula. I don't see any tzoek al ha'atid. I don't see any tzoek al ha'atid. And I end Vinomar lefanav shira chadasha haleluka, and we go into Hallel. We go into the first two mizmorim of Hallel. It's pure. It's powerful. It's shevach toda. And yet, by the time Magid ends, we begin looking forward. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's the middle of the second page. Asher ga'alanu v'ga'alat avoteinu. V'higiyanu l'alayla hazeh le'echol bo matzah u'maror. Backward looking. Thank you, Hashem. Uh-oh. Wait a second. Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoteinu. Yagiyenu. Whoa. That's a future word. Yagiyenu l'moadim v'l'regalim acherim. Haba'im likrateinu l'shalom. Whoa, there's the shift. Smeichim, we want to be happy. We're not now. Smeichim b'vinyani rechav sasim b'avodatecha. We want to be. And what are we going to do? Not v'achalnu sham. No, v'nochal sham. Min hazvachim u'min hapsachim asher yagi adamam al kir mizbachacha l'ratzon. You hear that switch? That was a thunderous earthquake. Before we had lahado lahaleh l'shabeach hotzianu me'abdo l'cheirut mi'agon l'simcha me'ebel l'yom tov. And here, thank you Hashem. But wait a minute, there's more. I need more. And how does it end? V'node l'cha shir chadash. Some rishonim look at this as a mistake, because you said before v'nomar l'fanav shira chadasha haleluka straight into halel. That is in the feminine. V'nomar lefanav shira chadasha. And by the time we get to the end of Magid, where we shift, what do we have? V'node lecha shir chadash, masculine. Is that a mistake? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, absolutely not. Look at the next. It's mentioned in the Tosfot, but it's really a Mechilta. The Mechilta in Beshalach says as follows. Here we go, ladies. This is the earthquake. Kol hashirot lashon nekeva chutz mishira de le'atid de lashon zachar. All she wrote are shira chadasha, shira chadasha, shira chadasha. It's a feminine form. When does shir become shir? When does it become masculine? The le'atid, lashon zachar. Why is a different discussion, which I can discuss after if you'd like. Come to me if you're interested. But the idea is that here, that's exactly what we said. When we had a shira de l'she'avar, which is what we had at the end of Magid, we had v'node v'nomar lefanav shira chadasha. And boom! When the earthquake happens and we're no longer in that persona of b'chol dor v'dor chayav v'dol nirot tefol gilu yetzal Mitzrayim, once I look forward, switches to masculine. V'node l'cha shir chadash. Of course it's masculine. Because now we're looking forward. We want a shir. We've sung to you and for you and about you a shira chadasha. We want to sing a shir chadash. And that describes much of the end of the Seder night. This idea that for a brief moment in our year, we're able to just purely say thank you. And then that moment passes, and we realize that we don't have everything we need. We don't have everything we want. We don't have everything God wants. And so that second part of Hallel comes along to say, I thank you. No question about it. Notein hoda'a al shavar. But I shift. So ek al ha'atid. I'm still vulnerable. I can't walk around for a day, for an hour, for a minute, for a split second without saying, thank you, but I need you. Thank you, but I need you. Thank you, but I need you. Shevach, bakasha, and hoda'ah are part of our genes. Three times a day, at least. Every day of our lives. It's part and parcel of who we are. The minute, chas v'shalom, I say, I don't need you, God. That's the carry, Kufi Resh Yud, that's mentioned in the Tochacha. Oh, you don't need me? I don't need you either. Chalila v'chalila v'chalila lo aleinu. We say, no, I need you, God. I'm so grateful. I don't forget for a moment how grateful I am. And yet I still need you. I've quoted this in the past, but I didn't quote it inside. This is an idea. This idea of constantly being vulnerable is a really gorgeous idea. And you, again, I think I've quoted it here, but I want to throw it to you inside. It's towards the end of the Gemara in Sota Memchet Amud Bet. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer. See what the arrow is there? Tanya Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer. Kol mi sheyesh lo pat besalo. V'yomer ma ochal lemachar eino ela miktanei amana. And then that's where he quotes a pasuk. Whoever has pat bisalo, whoever has, literally it means bread in his basket. It's a gorgeous pshat. This is golden. This is honey. Whoever has bread in his basket, which is the mashal for comfort. You've got money in your bank, you've got clothes in your closet, you've got food in your refrigerator. And still the person says, and he says, V'omer, and he says, Ma ochal lemachar, Eino ela miktanei amana. They have little faith. You've seen that expression before, Ktanei amana, with Noach, Rashi and Noach, Mipnei mea mabul. Anyway, the simple explanation is very simple and true. That a person who is comfortable today, that you've got what you want, your body's working properly, you have money in the bank. You have food in the refrigerator. You have clothes in your closet. And yet, you say, oy vey, what's going to be tomorrow? That's a bad thing. Pashup shot. What's the bad thing? The bad thing is that I believe that if God took care of me today, which He did, pat besalo, I've got bread in my basket, he's going to take care of me tomorrow also. Yeah? That's a pashup shot. And therefore, if I don't say that, it's a lack of faith. The Kutzker Rebbe, who's always known for turning things on their head, says this Gemara literally 180 degrees the other way. The Kutzker Rebbe says, or Menachem Mendel of Kutzk, says the opposite. I'll give a mashal, I think I did last time too, I'll give a mashal to help understand. I don't think he gives this mashal, but my mashal would be, to help, this is the Kutzker Rebbe's shot though, says if there were, God forbid, a lion in this room, running around, I don't know, not just lying around, but really running around and doing dangerous things. And upstairs, chas v'shalom, is a bear. The lion here and a bear over there. And everybody's screaming, oh my gosh, lion, the lion, the lion, what are we going to do about the lion? And I'm running around screaming, what about the bear, what about the bear, what about the bear? My first year as a Olech Hadash, I was the Sgan Menahel of an Israeli boys yeshiva high school. I was the Sgan Menahel. And we spent about a week before yeshiva started. We went into a new building. And we spent about a week preparing how we were going to introduce the boys into the Beit Midrash. It's a holy place. It's a special place. And they're the first ones to walk in there. Really special. And we had a whole system. We're going to walk in with Kovod Rosh. These were, you know, high school boys in middle, you know, 7th, 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Kovod Rosh, it's Makom Kadosh, with Kavod, and we were going to walk in and sit down, and pretend it's in this room here. And it really was working beautifully. And was walking in, you're invited to the Beit Midrash, and 7th grade is going to sit over here, and next is over here, and 9th grade, and then the Rosh Yeshiva walks in, everybody stands up, and it was really a powerful moment. And just when he sits down, he starts talking. When everyone sits down, the Rosh Yeshiva starts talking. I was sitting like over there, and I noticed that people were looking and pointing up there in the far corner over there. And then some guys started standing up, and I was thinking to myself, and for in a split second, oh my gosh, this is like mayhem, a circus. Here we tried Kovod Rosh, and it's all lost. Until we realized that coming down the wall was a snake this big. A snake this big. And I felt it was my responsibility as an educator and leader of people to show my students that when there's something dangerous, you run away as fast as you can. especially the 7th and 8th graders, they were shorter than me. I could knock them over easily. I was stepping on a few people, jumping out the door. I'm only sort of kidding. No, I didn't run away or knock anybody over, chas v'shalom, but I'm not saying that I ran to help either, you know. There was one of the Rebbeim had a gun, and I figured he'd be better equipped. He ended up trying to catch it with a broom handle, and then the snake tried to bite the broom handle, and venom came out. Yeah, no joke. And then, so he took the broom, and he just gave the snake a really, really big headache, at least from the brains that I saw on the side. I assumed, anyway. I didn't know which was grosser, that, or when a boy came, and he walks out with it, like, dead, and a boy who was from one of the kibbutzim nearby said, do you mind if I take the snake? And we said yes, and about 2 weeks later, he gave all the teachers a keychain made out of his skin.
No.
I know. I threw mine away in about 1.5 seconds. I thought, oh, thank you so much. Drop. Anyway, I don't know why I shared that story, but oh yeah, because everybody's screaming about the lion. Oh my gosh, there's a lion here, there's a lion here. And I am saying, oh my gosh, there's a bear upstairs, there's a bear upstairs. What would you say to me? Daya litzara bishata. Hold on a second. First, let's worry about the lion, and then we'll worry about the bear. That's what you would say to me, probably more loudly than that. The bear is indeed a problem, but we haven't gotten free from the lion. Yeah? That's the Kutzker Rebbe's pshat in this gemara. If you have pat bisalo, you have bread in your baskets, you have food in your refrigerator, you have clothing in your closet, and you're worried about tomorrow, Forget tomorrow. Worry about today. Have you checked your bank account recently? The only reason why there's money in the account now, and now, and now, and now, is because of God. You're Tanei Amana. Oh, I'm fine today. I'm worried about tomorrow. Forget about tomorrow. You're not so fine today. You have bread in your food in your refrigerator. You have food in your refrigerator now, and now, and now, only because of God. And that's this feeling of vulnerability is part of the human condition. But it is also a source of comfort. Because I'm not begging a melech basar vadam to make sure, that my money stays in my bank account now and now and now. And I'm not begging a melech basar vadam that my clothing stays in my closet now and now and now. I am be'it sarah davening to the one and only melech malchei malchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the pilot of this plane. And I trust him immensely. Even though I know that life is completely in his hands, I trust him that he treats me properly. And whatever I get, I deserve. No tein hoda'al shavar b'tzo'ek al hatid is a source of nervousness, vulnerability, but it's also a source of tremendous comfort. And that's what Hallel is. While I'm praising God, I say, God, thank you. And thank you for taking care of me in the future. So that is perhaps why we say Hallel the way we do every year. That the way we say it all year round, I mean to say. And that is perhaps why we split Hallel on Pesach night. May we be Zoche this year to change the end of the Seder. We're not going to have to say that we will eat Psachim and Zvachim. We're going to say to God with Hashem's brachot that we are eating Psachim and Zvachim in the Beit HaMikdash. Lailah Tov, everybody.